Massage. The field of massage encompasses many specialties, far too many to list and describe in this section. Here we explore two types. Shiatsu. Shiatsu is a hands-on therapy that uses the palms, thumbs, and fingers to deliver healing through pressure. A process effectively described by its name, shi, means finger, and atsu means pressure. Shiatsu focuses on particular sections of the body to correct bodily imbalances and promote health. It is also considered a viable way to heal specific illnesses. Shiatsu is similar to traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, in that it focuses on specific bodily locations. Unlike TCM, however, the most strategic of these points are based at anatomically functional sites rather than energetically based areas. They are called tsubo points, tsubo meaning vital point or important place. Many of these points, however, do interface with the traditional meridian points. The practice of shiatsu. Shiatsu is usually conducted with a patient fully clothed and lying down, but sometimes sitting up. The practitioner diagnoses and immediately begins treatment through his or her thumbs, adding palm and hand-based pressures in the process. Shiatsu combines many techniques, including shaking, rotating, pressing, hooking, vibrating, patting, plucking, lifting, pinching, brushing, and more. One school employs walking on a person's back, legs, and feet. A session usually concentrates on the basic shiatsu points, BSP, and secondarily on the kaiketsu shiatsu points, KSP. In general, shiatsu is based on the same anatomical and physiological principles as chiropractic and many types of Western massage. Unlike these modalities, however, shiatsu uses only the thumbs, palms, and fingers. In traditional Eastern care, including acupuncture and herbal medicine, practitioners first diagnose and then conduct therapy. Instead of first performing a diagnosis, a shiatsu practitioner uses his or her thumbs to gather salient information about the patient, such as general condition, specifics about the skin, muscles, and organs, and body temperature. The practitioner then immediately adjusts his or her actions in order to deliver treatment through the tsubo points. The idea is to call forth the body's natural healing powers by adjusting biofunctions. The basis of shiatsu lies in knowing which tsubo points to employ, how much pressure to use, and what type of pressure is beneficial. There are many different types of pressure, each of which can be used to identify problems and deliver healing. The shiatsu points. There are two types of tsubo points, which are basic shiatsu points, BSP. These 660 points cover the entire body. These do not have names, and a practitioner often works with many or all of them to restore balance to the body. Kaiketsu shiatsu points, KSP. These points are also referred to as pathological reflex points and are connected to the cutaneovisceral reflexes of the sensory nerves. The KSP are located in the same places as are the meridian points. They therefore have names derived from their Chinese parent points. These points are worked on for specific symptoms and problems. Some KSP interface with a BSP. Practitioners usually spend about 80% of their time on the BSP and 20% on the KSP. In addition to the tsubo points, a shiatsu practitioner also refers to dermatomes, subsections of the body controlled by specific spinal nerves, the dorsal roots. The history of shiatsu. Shiatsu was invented by a young Japanese boy, Tokujiro Namakoshi, in 1912. When he was 7 years old, he cured his mother of rheumatism using only his thumbs, fingers, palms, and the application of pressure. As he matured, he discovered the 660 basic points, which he linked to bodily parts and functions through his studies in anatomy and physiology. In 1957, shiatsu was accepted as a healing modality by the Japanese Medical Department of the Ministry of Welfare. There are also several versions of shiatsu collectively, called derivative shiatsu. One popular style, meridian shiatsu, incorporates the meridian therapy of traditional Chinese medicine. Zen shiatsu encompasses Zen philosophies in its practice. Tao shiatsu involves mental concentration and supplications to the Buddha. This discussion highlights the work of Kiyoshi Ikenaga, who focuses on the anatomical and physiological aspects of the Subo points. How shiatsu works. The basis of shiatsu is to prevent and heal illnesses or imbalances by stimulating the immune system and accessing the patient's natural healing powers. Shiatsu practitioners usually treat the entire body. As the whole heals, independent bodily systems are then restored. Shiatsu professionals are knowledgeable about the effects of stimulating Subo points on such physical symptoms as the circulatory or nervous system. Because it works systematically, a treatment provides the following benefits. Invigorates the skin, flexes the muscles, circulates bodily fluids, entrains or coordinates the nervous system with other bodily systems. Regulates the operation of the ductless endocrine glands. Balances the skeletal system. Soothes the digestive system. Why does shiatsu emphasize the thumb, which reads the body to diagnose and also deliver healing? The thumb is replete with Meissner's corpuscles, light touch receptors. Pacinian corpuscles, deep pressure receptors. Krauss's end bulbs and Ruffini's endings, crude touch receptors, and thermoreceptors that detect warmth and cold. It is a highly sensitive organ and an ending point for certain meridians, as well as brain receptors. The hands themselves are effective diagnostic and healing instruments because the palms contain a high concentration of negative ions, which partner with the blood's positive ions. The most positively charged element in blood is calcium. The negative ions from the practitioner's hands increase the calcium level in the blood, decreasing the compounds that lead to illness. Shiatsu is also considered an effective way to achieve pain relief, as is explained by the gait control theory, which can be illustrated this way. 1. An area is injured. 2. Messages about the injury are transferred through thin fibers to a pain center in the central nervous system. This pain center is located at the dorsal vertebra, which is fed by thin and thick nervous fibers. This site serves as a gateway to the brain. 3. The thin fibers open the gateway, telling the brain there is an injury. When the brain hears there is an injury, it produces pain. 4. The thick fibers close the gateway so the brain does not hear about the injury or respond with messages that create pain. 5. Shiatsu, done accurately, stimulates the thick fibers, thus closing the gateway and alleviating pain. Shiatsu also reduces pain through its effect on the ductless endocrine glands, stimulating endorphins. Thai massage. Thai massage is an ancient technique based on energy lines as well as the chakras. Thai massage channels differ somewhat in locality from those employed by shiatsu and Chinese therapists, although they are all described as working energetically and physically in much the same ways. Most Thai massage scholars state that there are 10 main lines, called sen, but they do not agree upon their locations. There are three major types of lines. main, extension, and branch. These compare to the Hindu nadis and the meridians in the following ways. Sensumana, identical to the Hindu Sushumna nadi and a combination of the Renmai and Jumai channels of the Chinese tradition. Senitha and Senpingala, related to the Hindu Ida and Pingala nadis and the bladder meridian of the Chinese system. Sensahatsarangzi and Sentawari combine to form the Chinese stomach meridian. The sen are comparable to rivers of energy and the chakras to whirlpools in the rivers. The seven major chakras are positioned along the center line, or sensumana, and several minor chakras are peppered around the body. Thai massage uses pressure points, which are not formally labeled, but rather relate to the areas they affect and the disorders they address. Meridian dentistry. Many dentists and oral practitioners are expanding their practices to include meridian theory. Figure 6.13 shows the link between the teeth and various meridian lines. Meridian dentistry is most often part of a new type of medicine called biological medicine. Biological medicine takes a holistic view of the human body. Rather than reducing it to separate systems, it assesses the function of each system. Tests may include analysis of blood, urine, and saliva, dental and skin examinations, hearing and vision tests, cardiovascular tests, kinesthetic evaluation, and more. A biological dentist understands that the mouth and teeth are critically connected to the other parts of the body because of the meridian system. Conventional doctors and dentists, on the other hand, usually separate dentistry from the rest of the medical system. Through the meridian system, each tooth connects to an organ or bodily system. An unhealthy tooth can therefore contribute to an organic disorder. Conversely, a problem within another part of the body can create problems with the teeth. Most biological dentists recommend the removal of mercury amalgams due to the negative effects of mercury on the body. Mercury is a poison that can cause chronic fatigue, depression, joint pain, and other maladies. Root canals are also suspect, as they can hide a low-grade infection that weakens corresponding meridian organs. Of the many breast cancer patients treated by biological practitioner Dr. Thomas Rau at the Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland, almost all have had a root canal-treated tooth in a premolar or molar tooth. These teeth are on the same meridian pathway as are the breasts. It is not believed that the cancer originates in the teeth. Rather, cancer-causing microbes migrate from the breasts to hide in the teeth and constantly infect the woman. Biological practitioners might participate in an overall patient health program or independently prescribe oral supplements, homeopathy, and other care based on meridian testing. Mudras, energy symbols. Cultures around the world have assigned meaning to movement. Mudras are one of the primary movements used in the Hindu spirituality for shifting energy. A mudra is an esoteric hand gesture that activates specific powers or energies. From the Sanskrit word for seal, these symbolic poses are a vital part of ritual worship, dance, and yoga in many countries and cultures. They have been imbued with many different meanings according to culture or practice. For some practitioners, mudras are magical formulas invoking powers including fearlessness, teaching protection, and healing. For others, they provide a link to a specific deity or to the divine in general. Still, other individuals use mudras to activate specific psychic abilities or the channels of chi or prana between the body and the mind. Mudras always involve specific movements of the hands and fingers, although some expressions also involve the elbows and shoulders. Each pattern represents a different energy and is often used in concert with a mantra, chant, asana, posture, liturgy, or visualization. Mudra gestures. There are over 500 different mudras and meanings across cultures. However, they are all based on four basic hand positions: the open palm, the hollowed palm, the closed fist, and the hand with fingertips together. The Five Buddha Families. The Five Buddha Families is a Buddhist path for working with the mind that can be applied to healing. This ancient Buddhist understanding of universal energies was translated into modern psychological relevance by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche in the 1970s. It refers to five methods of categorizing personality and spiritual nature. Each of the five families can be explained in terms of several aspects, which can be enacted positively or negatively. Knowing one's own personal makeup is equivalent to understanding a style of enlightenment or neurosis. This knowledge also imparts particularly helpful ways to meditate, relate socially, better oneself psychologically, and evaluate appropriate healthcare approaches. The key to evaluating others as well as the self is to adopt an attitude of Maitri, or unconditional friendliness. This enables productive assessments of behavior, intellect, and temperament. The five families are typically depicted as the mandala of the Tathagatas or Buddhas. Each represents a different aspect of enlightenment, but also a neurosis, Buddha, location on the mandala, element, season, and color, as is in figure 6.16. The Buddhist Mudras. In the Buddhist system, most poses invoke a certain force or encourage a spiritual attribute. Figure 6.15 is 10 important Buddhist mudras. A Tibetan mudra system, the five fingers. In certain Tibetan sects, each of the five fingers represents one of the five main elements, the hand itself being a synthesis of all five. Each mudra presents a unique combination of elements that establishes the conditions for the presence of a certain deity. Mudras and spin theory. Physics might provide an explanation of, or a doorway into, the effectiveness of the mudra. Spin theory is associated with the rotation of a particle or body around an axis. In quantum physics, we look at this spin in relation to angular momentum and wave particles, not just rotation and particles. The spin carried by the tiniest of particles, subatomic ones, can be graphed as geometric shapes or lines drawn from one point to another. One might even imagine that some of these points, the spaces penetrated by up and down, sideways, or other movements, connect to subtle energy fields and even other dimensions. Is it possible that a focused practitioner, a master of mudras, can actually create connections between different energy fields, worlds, and planes of existence? If so, he or she can use the mudra as a physicist might draw lines between various universes. Each mudra forms a different shape and therefore accesses energies for a different cause. What might we spin into or out of existence with this intentional use of spin? Numerology, qualities of harmony. The most learned of the ancients believed that numbers presented the fundamental principle of the universe, providing the only true explanation of the enigmas of reality. Today, many scientists are drawing upon the workings of mathematics, frequency, geometry, and other numerically based approaches to explain healing, create new therapeutic modalities, and solve the puzzles of medicine. This concept is part of an esoteric and mystical lore called numerology, which is the study of numbers for practical application. Cultures across time and space have reduced reality to numerical equations. Even today, practitioners derive numerical formulas using birth dates, astrological figures, the letters in names, and other ideas to explain personality, life lessons, soul purpose, health problems and solutions, and relationship and partnership potential, as well as to forecast future events. Numbers are the basis of ancient Sumerian thinking, as well as healing modalities among many Hindu, Vedic, Egyptian, Tibetan, Mayan, Siberian, Chinese, Jewish, Kabbalah, Christian, and cross-cultural sects. Certain Kabbalists, for example, analyzed Ezekiel, Enoch, and 4 Ezra, the fourth book of Ezra, part of the Apocrypha, to speculate on the hidden meanings of numbers and letters. In Hindu scripture, numbers are often correlated to astrological bodies and their supposed traits. Ayurveda, the East Indian medical system, often relies upon a person's number, often determined by one's birth date and a formula based on name, to diagnose illness and present solutions, which might include fasting or the ingestion or topical use of vibrational medicines, such as powdered gemstones, which are used for electrochemical healing. Fasting days are often based on numerology, as are the choices of gemstones. Pythagoras is considered the historic father of numerology for the Western world, although he learned the mysteries from other ancient traditions. See Chapter 26, Sacred Geometry, Fields of Life. He believed that the universe was orderly and ever-evolving, subject to progressive cycles measured with numbers 1 through 9. Pythagoras differentiated between the values of the figures and the numbers themselves. Zero was not considered a number, and therefore had no numerological value, and was not even introduced into the Western Hemisphere until a few hundred years ago. In the East, however, zero, sometimes called sunya, shunya, or the void, has been known since the dawn of civilization. As such, it is the cornerstone of Buddhism. This discussion of the meanings of the numbers is drawn from Egyptian, Chaldean, and Pythagorean philosophy. Helpful and harmful numerical symbols. Numbers can be perceived psychically in various parts of the energy field and chakras. When intuitively seen as whole or normal in appearance, the field or chakra is probably healthy. When they look altered in shape or form, the energy body could be sustaining problems. A practitioner then energetically or intuitively transforms the misshapen number into its appropriate shape to provide healing. Some healing systems have linked various diseases or problems with numbers that can superimpose healing. A process called energy healing and wellness of numbers, for example, prescribes specific numbers for different issues. One creates a statement using the healing number and visualizes a particular symbol to perform healing. Figure 6.18 is chart outlines the positive influence of numbers 1 through 12, as well as the negative impacts when these numbers appear altered in a field or chakra, that is, broken or misshapen, indicating a problem. Polarity therapy. Polarity therapy is a touch-based therapeutic process that balances the flow of energy inside the human body. Based on the assumption that energy fields and currents exist within the self and nature, it presents principles and tools to release energy blocks. Polarity therapists believe that blockages manifest first in the subtle realms and then in physical reality. Releasing these blocks returns a person to his or her natural state. This healing is accomplished through working with a human energy field and electromagnetic patterns that are mental, emotional, and physical. Polarity therapy outlines 3 types of energy fields in the human body. Long line currents, which run north to south. Transverse currents, which travel east to west. Spiral currents, which emanate from the navel and expand outward. Like the Ayurvedic tradition, this system also works with five chakras and three main principles of healing. It also draws upon the traditional Chinese models of expansion, contraction, or yin-yang. Qigong, moving with the meridians. Qigong accesses the subtle energies in your body for physical, emotional, and mental well-being. Qi means life energy, and gong benefits from persistent efforts. These two terms aptly apply to the practice and art of Qigong, which accomplishes change through a series of exercises that move the qi throughout the body. While it is physical in nature, its focus is often mental. The exercises help you move your mind through the body's blocks and stagnation. Qigong has been shown to positively enhance nervous system activity and reduce stress hormone levels. A Swedish study showed that Qigong helped women in their 40s who had challenging computer-based jobs to slow their heart rate and blood pressure during the day. A study at the Hong Kong Polytechnic University revealed that Qigong might be more effective at easing depression than drugs. Participants reported a 70% drop in depression symptoms after 2 months of practice. It has also been shown to boost immunity, deepen sleep, and ease headaches. Another fascinating study was reported in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine in 1991. Using infrared detectors, researchers measured the output from the palms of advanced Qigong practitioners. They concluded that at least a part of the emitted energy, or qi, was in the infrared band of the electromagnetic spectrum. They also detected measurable and positive changes on human fibroblasts, connective tissue cells, in reaction to this energy. The emanating energy increased DNA and protein synthesis and cell growth in all human cells. This energy was more specifically measured in a study led by Dr. Akira Sito, who found an extremely large magnetic field, a thousandth of a gauss, emanating from the palms of three individuals emitting qi. This is a thousand times stronger than the naturally occurring human biomagnetic field, a millionth of a gauss. The emitted qi created significant changes in infrasound, electromagnetism, static electricity, infrared radiation, gamma rays, particle and wave flows, organic eon flows, and light. Qigong arose about 4,000 years ago in China. It is currently a national Chinese phenomenon. At least 60 million people in China alone practice the art. It is now practiced around the world. It employs the meridians, chakras, and auric fields. It also relies upon many elements of traditional Chinese medicine. For example, some Qigong practices follow the cycle of qi in their recommendations of certain exercises. It is similar to both Tai Chi and yoga, except that Tai Chi primarily involves identifying the qi within one's own body, and yoga concentrates on holding poses. In comparison, Qigong involves mentally generating and directing qi through movements that often imitate the natural motions of animals, such as the crane, deer, or monkey. These exercises are accompanied by breathing techniques. There are two basic types of Qigong. Wei Dan, also called Wai Dan. Wei Dan is considered yang or male because it involves physical exercise to create yang qi. Beginners often start with Wei Dan because it quickly stimulates the flow of qi. There are two kinds of Wei Dan practices. Still Wei Dan, also called Zhan Zhuang, focuses on bettering physical health. It involves freezing in particular positions while relaxing the muscles. Moving Wei Dan involves tensing and relaxing different muscle groups while shifting position. Nei Dan. Neidan is more yin because it uses mental exercises to form yin qi. Participants often combine mental concentration and activity, imagery and breathing techniques to circulate qi to the bodily channels and organs. There are several styles of qigong. Some employ the practices of Taoism or Buddhism to produce spiritual effects, while others are strictly physical in nature. In general, these are the basic styles. Mental qigong focuses on managing and directing the mind to reduce stress. As it is estimated that 80% of all diseases are stress-related, mind control can certainly make a difference in one's physical health. Mental qigong requires regulation of the mind and emotion, and also helps practitioners gain better control of their minds and feelings. Medical qigong. Used for both self-healing and healing others, medical qigong has been fruitfully employed for arthritis, asthma, anxiety, neck pain, postpartum depression, stress, bowel complaints, and other maladies. Martial qigong. The key focus is learning how to fight and defend oneself. Spiritual qigong. Aims at controlling emotions and increasing spirituality. This has been a favored process for the Taoist monks of China for centuries. They also use it for developing psychic ability. Radionics, healing through the field. Radionics is a method of diagnostic assistance that reacts to the energy field outside of the body. As a healing practice, it is firmly grounded in the belief that every living organism has its own electromagnetic field and is also bathed in the Earth's field. Also, each organ, disease, and remedy oscillates on its own specific vibrations, which can be assessed as numerical values. These values are expressed either as rates or as a geometric pattern. By recognizing these values, often intuitively, a practitioner can assess a problem and create a remedy, which can be sent long distance as a vibration. Arthur Abrams developed radionics in the early 1900s. He found that the human nervous system, under certain conditions, will react to the energy field of something outside the body. By observing these reactions in the body, he not only diagnosed disease, but used this technique to indicate a treatment. Science is now suggesting that we are all connected through higher dimensions of the universe. Most scientists suggest the existence of 10 dimensions, the same number as taught in the Kabbalah. Radionic treatment works through all the dimensions, asserting that change occurs first interdimensionally and second in the physical body. Healing can only occur if someone is made well in all the dimensions, not just a single one. Practitioners of radionics use tools such as a pendulum or L-rod to amplify the body's signals in a form of radiesthesia. Many such devices and procedures are quite complex and reveal a great deal of detail about a patient. Typically, a radionic assessment will involve evaluation of a patient's spiritual character, personality, and inherited and genetic disposition, as well as environmental influences and physical symptoms. Radiesthesia. Radiesthesia is the principle behind dowsing, the use of pendulums, divining rods, or other means to track and evaluate electromagnetic fields in the body or the earth. Dowsing involves sensing changes in the dowsing instrument and one's own intuitive self to obtain information, receive answers to questions, diagnose health conditions in self or others, and discover what lies under land, such as in dowsing for water or determining origins of geopathic stress. Dowsing is also used to determine the extent of a subject's field. The use of dowsing stretches back through history. Queen Cleopatra, for instance, was known to employ dowsers to obtain information, and some experts believe that dowsing goes back 7,000 years. The fundamental belief beyond radiesthesia is that everything emits energy or radiation. A pendulum serves as a medium connecting the dowser and an energetic source, such as land, or the dowser and another person's unconscious. The pendulum or rod receives information from the field emitted by people or places, which the dowser then interprets. Besides a pendulum, dowsers often use Y-shaped rods made of hazelnut, beech, alder, or copper. An interesting aspect of preparing a dowsing tool for use is that the practitioner uses verbal instruction to tell it which direction indicates a yes or a no. Reflexology and acupuncture, working with the body through its parts. Reflexology is a time-honored method of healing that has been clinically substantiated. It involves using acupuncture needling, acupuncture, color puncture, or electroacupuncture, among other methods, on specific points and zones on the feet, hands, scalp, or ears to influence the organs, glands, and systems of the body, as well as diagnosis and treatment of the teeth. Reflexology has descended from early Chinese, Japanese, Russian, East Indian, and Egyptian cultures and is based on the idea that zones of energy run throughout the body and can most easily be accessed through the feet, hands, and scalp. In 1917, Dr. William Fitzgerald, a physician, divided the body into 10 longitudinal zones running from the head to the toes. These formed the foundation of zone-based reflexology. In addition, he theorized 3 latitudinal cross zones. Working through the skin has a basis in early research by British neurologist Sir Henry Head, who lived in the early 1900s. He outlined skin zones, or head zones, that represent specific organs. An organ-based illness can cause the associated skin zone to react by becoming more sensitive or painful. By working on the skin site, you can alleviate the illness. The skin is replete with blood vessels and nerves. They connect to the muscles and organs and to all parts of the body. If you work on the right area of the body, you can therefore assist its related areas. Foot reflexology and acupuncture. In the 1930s, a physiotherapist named Eunice Ingham concluded that the feet were the most sensitive access points to the meridians. Her Genesis system is the most widely accepted and is used around the world with only minor alterations. Hand reflexology and acupuncture. Our hands are unique tools, providing us with the ability to grasp, work, and manipulate objects. They are also highly sensitive organs with thousands of capillaries and nerve endings that enable us to sense and touch our world. Hand reflexology involves working with the hand zones and analyzing the basic condition of the hands. Well-cared-for hands hint at the ability for self-care. Rough, calloused hands reveal a hard-working character. Bitten nails shout nervousness. In some ways, a hand reflexologist is a hand therapist. Head reflexology and acupuncture. Head reflexology has evolved from scalp acupuncture and is considered an effective way to treat pain as well as functional disturbances, especially those that are stress-related or involve nervous system disorders. Head reflexology can involve the use of needling and massage. Auricular therapy with light. The Russians were the first to experiment with using lasers on ear acupuncture points. They affirmed that the points on the earlobes correlated to bodily organs and discovered how to evaluate the organ's metabolic processes by measuring the electrical resistance at these points. They primarily measured the galvanic skin response, GSR, or electrical resistance on the skin. A reading below normal on an ear point would indicate a problem with the related meridian. After several minutes of light-emitting diode, LED, stimulation on the ear point, the skin resistance readings would return to more normal levels. Dr. Toshikatsu Yamamoto, who went to medical school in Japan, Germany, and the United States, developed the best-known contemporary version of scalp acupuncture, which is the basis for head massage. He systematically uncovered the scalp's energy points and found that they formed a microsystem, a sort of independent body. Yamamoto named the head zones in an alphabetical fashion. Figure 6.24 illustrates the different zones. Auricular reflexology and acupuncture. Ear massage and acupuncture are primary treatment sites in various Eastern and now Western practices. The process was discussed in the classic Chinese textbook, the Huang Dinejing, and was used by followers of the Greek physician Hippocrates around 400 BC. The Chinese outlined 20 therapeutic points on the oracle during the Tang Dynasty, between AD 618 and 907. We owe our modern system to French physician Paul Nogier, who in the 1950s observed small burn zones in specific areas of the ear on patients who had seen a folk healer for back pain, one of the ailments most typically treated by auricular therapy. Nogier experimented to discover a reflex map of the ear, comparing it with an upside-down embryo. His system has become the most accepted in recent times. It is frequently used for chronic pain, dyslexia, and a variety of addictions. Reiki, channeling universal life energy. Reiki is an energy practice involving the channeling and delivery of universal life energy, an animate energy found elsewhere within and around us. The term Reiki literally means spiritually guided life energy. There are many forms and founders of Reiki. One of the main originators is Dr. Mikeo Yuzui, who developed the practice in the beginning of the 20th century in Japan. Other key leaders include Dr. Hayashi and Mrs. Hawayo Takata. Currently, Reiki training involves passing three or four stages of teaching. Accredited Reiki masters are now often employed as energy therapists in hospitals and clinics in the West. The Reiki system draws on chakra knowledge as well as specific symbols. A practitioner is initiated into the use of these symbols, which are considered sacred. The keys that open the doors to the higher mind, triggering an intention or belief that brings about specific results. By using these symbols in a process called attunement, a Reiki master can perform hands-on or distant healing.